I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
In the world of business, CEOs and financial officers want to see consistent profits in the corporation's bottom line. They have a standard of measurement they apply to each item to see whether it's performing as it ought to. If a product or a service their company offers isn't making money, they're ready to scrap it and to introduce something that will be profitable. In the world of manufacturing, products are tested at a variety of points during the production process. As the manufactured piece moves along the assembly line, each process is carefully monitored and controlled to ensure that the product isn't defective. And then after completion, some finished products are randomly chosen and they're submitted to rigorous testing to make sure everything is just the way it should be. You know, these kinds of procedures are things we consumers have come to expect. We want to buy a product or a service with confidence it will do what it's supposed to do. So we're constantly evaluating competing products in the marketplace. But you know, I find it interesting, and somewhat strange too, that while most people recognize the need for an objective standard of evaluation in everything from education to manufacturing, when you mention an objective standard for evaluating life, you're seen as being legalistic or accused of being morally superior. Well, more on that in a moment, but right now, here are the men to sing.
Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee. Was it the nails, O Savior, that bound thee to the tree? Nay, 'twas thine everlasting love, thy love was shown to me. O make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin.
Is there an objective standard for evaluating one's life? Here on the Voice of Hope, we're firmly convinced that there is. It is the Word of God. That's why we prepare and produce this program every week. We want you to understand what God's Word says and how it applies to your life. Some time ago, I read a very revealing statistic. Barna Research informs us that only 9% of born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. That's less than 1 out of 10. Less than 1 out of 10 people who profess to know Christ and who claim to live according to the Scripture believe that the Bible provides an objective standard for behavior. Now, is it any wonder we have such moral and spiritual confusion in our country and in our culture? We certainly can't expect those who make no profession of faith in God to live by His word. But is it asking too much to hold professing Christians accountable for their behavior? You know, in many churches, the pastor preaches the word of God, but the members live just the way they want, and no one holds them accountable for their disobedience. We need to call the church back to the fulfilling of its divinely appointed authority.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From Him He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with a vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath you in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and
thank you, choir. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word as an objective standard of truth to evaluate our lives. And now, as Dr. Yoder explains the word to us, help each of us to hold our lives beside that standard and see how we measure up to the standard of holiness you demand of all who follow you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I raise a question with you, my friend. How much is a man worth? What kind of a price tag would you put on a person's life? Well, we all know that life insurance companies have high prices on the chief executive officer. Hundreds of thousands of dollars they put on a man's life. But you know that Jesus, our precious Lord, had a different equation when evaluating life. I'm referring to his remarks in Mark's Gospel, the 8th chapter. If you'd like to turn to it, do. That's Mark 8, and beginning at verse 34. Mark 8, beginning at verse 34. Now here's how Jesus put value on a man's life. He said it like this, and I'm reading now from Mark 8, 34 to 37. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see what I mean? Jesus had a way to evaluate life quite different from the insurance companies or the people in the business world. Today, the value of life is not measured by the accountant's balance sheet, I tell you. There's another balance sheet, which has to be taken into account. So in my message on this broadcast, I aim to help you make an evaluation of life from 1 Peter. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11, and watch in your Bible as I read the holy book of the living God. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. I submit that from Peter's words we can and should establish the basic considerations essential to evaluate life. First, let us consider the brevity of time. The end is always a stark reality. We were not born to live here forever. There is birth and there is death. I'm speaking about the mortal body, of course. I'm not speaking about the spiritual. I'm speaking about the mortal body. There is a stark reality to the end of life, to the brevity of life. Mortality is the terminal point. And I confess, friend, this world in which we live is mortal. Everything around us has a terminal point, it seems. So the end calls for rationality, and Peter brings this to our attention. He says, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. That means to think straight. Don't let your thoughts get all twisted up. Watch out for those twisted ideas that are floating around today. Be sober-minded. And he said to watch and pray. Watch unto prayer. That is, be awake and pray. Now I'm reminded of those three disciples that went with Jesus into the garden when Jesus prayed just before his crucifixion. Peter said that he would go with him even unto death. But when Jesus asked them to watch with him, they fell asleep. And Jesus said to them, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The brevity of time is what I'm talking about. That's one way to evaluate life. And then I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus told about that rich man. He thought he had the future before him. So when his land produced heavy crops so that he had no room to store his goods, he said that he would tear down his barns and build greater. And he was in the process of implementing this. But behold, God came to him that very night and said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? He had not considered the brevity of life. He thought about the ease and comfort he could have by gathering together his material wealth. I tell you, to evaluate life, you must consider the brevity of time. That's important. Yes, amen. Let me give you the second consideration. You should consider the beauty of love. Yes, that's what Peter said. Above all things, have fervent love. So top everything off with love. Let love be right on top. And he said fervent love. Fervent love means earnest, unsullied. Love that has no flaws in it. Maybe we can even say that love without partiality, without hypocrisy. He said, have this among yourselves. I'm speaking about the body of Christ because I believe that's what Peter was talking about. Of course, that's the church. The people who really love the Lord should love one another. And he said, that love will cover a multitude of sins. Let me give you a little caution here, however. It does not mean that love is a cover-up to hide sin. It does not mean you wouldn't expose that person's sin because he's a very close friend of yours. That's not the point. The point is, you will realize that in your own life, you too have needs. There's a cover to realize all need love. We often turn to the great love chapter in the letter to the Corinthians, and I want to turn to that now. It's 1 Corinthians 13, you know. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. You want to jot that down, write it down. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Now, here's the way Paul writes. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, that's the kind of love Peter's talking about, a kind of love that can absorb. Consider the beauty of love. Then he says, to use hospitality one to another. Entertain guests and give yourself as you entertain those guests. The kind of love that Peter's talking about, the beauty of love, is giving love. It's a kind of love that God has. The Bible tells us, I believe, really, it's a quotation from Jesus, I believe, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So then, to evaluate your life, consider the beauty of love. I bring you a third consideration. You should consider the blessing of service. Peter goes on to tell us that you have a gift. You have received a gift. Every man has received a gift. So as everyone does receive a gift, then everyone should use that gift. Use your gift to minister to the other person. This is the same word as in the noun form is used for deacon. Isn't that interesting? Deacon. So we can say, be a deacon to another. And a deacon, we learn from Acts 6, is a person appointed to look after people, other people, and take care of their needs. Use your gift for the blessing of others. Minister to another. Be someone else's deacon. Now, that's nice, isn't it? Peter then brings to us a point of stewardship. As a good steward of the manifold grace of God. A steward is a caretaker. He doesn't necessarily have anything of his own, but he takes care of someone else's properties or manages someone else's affairs. So Peter says, we should be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How marvelous is the grace of God, the superabounding grace reaching beyond that we would normally think. And then acknowledge that you are servants. Acknowledge the servant role. Remember that God is in control. So whatever you do, do it as a servant of God. You notice how Peter puts it there in the 11th verse? Let him speak as the oracles of God. When a man speaks, he should be sure he has a message from the Lord. You know how the prophets of the Old Testament often said it? The word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto me. Whenever anyone speaks for God, he should be sure that he is really speaking for God. And then Peter says, as he ministers, let him do it with the ability that God giveth. Yes, how true. So much is done in the flesh. So much is done in the power of the flesh, rather than in the ability that God gives. I want to challenge you, friend, in your service, in your Christian service, rely upon and draw upon the ability that God gives. Now there's a goal for this. The aim is to glorify God, that he may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Praise God. Jesus Christ and God are worthy of our praises. I'm talking about the blessing of service. So when we serve God, we serve him as our master, as our Lord. Now I'd like to refer you to Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28. Jesus said it there this way, But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Consider the blessing of service. To evaluate life, you must think of how others can benefit from the use of your gift in the service of God. Friend, how do you feel about your life? Here are the basic considerations as I laid them out to you to help you evaluate your life. Remember, life is not evaluated by the accountant's balance sheet. But you must pay attention to these considerations that Peter mentions: the brevity of life, the beauty of love, and the blessing of service. Then aim to glorify God through Jesus Christ, for He is worthy. Now let us pray. Almighty God, ruler of all things, sustainer of all things, we come humbly to Thee now to realize that life is of value only as it is related to the divine originator of life, even to Thee, O Lord. So help my friend and me to carefully consider how to evaluate our lives. Time is short, love is beautiful, and service is a blessing. So help us, Lord, I pray, to be what we can be in the most effective way. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I am fondly earnestly longing into Thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning Thy love more fully to know. Open the wells of grace and salvation, pour the rich streams deep into my heart, cleanse and refine my thought and affection.
I hope that's your prayer, my friend, and I hope today's program has been helpful to you in evaluating your own relationship with the Lord. If you've been blessed by today's broadcast, won't you please let us know? You can do that in a couple of ways. The easiest way is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292, or you can write to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. If you'd like to listen to this teaching again, you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org. Today's teaching and many other programs are archived on that site. You can visit anytime it's convenient for you. Or you can request a CD copy of this program, How to Evaluate Life. You can reach us with your request by email at hope heraldsofhope.org. Write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. If you'd like a printed copy of this teaching, we recently had this whole series reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. To request your copy, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony from a listener. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. When you send your gift, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. It's been great to have you along for the program today, friend. I look forward to our being together again next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study of 1 Peter, so I hope you'll join me. And until we meet again,
we've read and heard the story in the blessed old book, how the walls of Jericho the people marched round, and when the trumpet sounded, how the mighty walls shook, walls around the city came a-tumbling down. The Lord delivered Daniel from the hungry lion's den. He rolled the waters back before all Moses and his men. He led his people out of Egypt's bondage and its sin. The Lord calmed the ocean and the mighty winds that blew. He saved the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace too. He rose up from the grave just like the prophet said he'd do. He never will forsake us, matters not what may come. Safely he will lead his faithful children on home. The Lord said, Brother Jonah, go to Nineveh land. But he disobeyed the Lord by hiding away. Then Jonah got converted to obey the command. From the whale the Lord delivered him on that day. The Lord delivered Daniel from the hungry lion's den. He rolled the waters back before all Moses and his men. He led his people out of Egypt's bondage and its sin. The Lord did calm the ocean and the mighty winds that blew. He saved the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace too. He rose up from the grave just like the prophet said he'd do. He never will forsake us, matters not what may come. Safely he will lead his faithful children on home. The Lord has raised the dead and caused the blinded to see. Cleansed the leper spots and turned the water to wine. The Lord is just the same today and ever will be. There's no other power like the Savior divine.